to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
What do you do when everything starts falling apart? What do you do when everything is going well? If you think about it, life really just kind of swings back and forth between those two things. You know, you have moments in your life when it seems like everything may be falling apart, and maybe whether it is or not, it may seem that way. And then other times it's like, man, everything's going pretty good. And I know that was a very vague question. What do you do? I mean, there's a lot of things you do. But I want to talk about, how do you handle that? Now, I much prefer handling when everything's going well than when everything's falling apart. If you're like me, you have probably very few times in life that it's one extreme or the other all the way, because even in the midst of difficulty, there are those things we can take joy in if we'll look for them and find them and rejoice in them. And even in the midst of the joyful times, there's always going to be little bits and pieces of things that are frustrating or whatever, because we live in this world, and this world is full of sin, evil, whatever, but yet the goodness of God. But I want to talk today about what we as believers, if we are believers, and if you're here today and you're not a Christian, a believer, you're not born again, whatever word you want to use, but you happen to be here for whatever reason, we're so glad you're here. Or if you're watching online or watching or listening to this later, we're so glad that I believe God has drawn you to this to speak to your heart. But for those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus and surrendered our lives to him, how do we handle that? How do we live our life? How does that impact every single day, but especially when you've got difficulty? And I want to share with you today some just basic thoughts that probably will not be new to you, or at least to all of you, but I think we need to be reminded of from time to time, because I know I need to be reminded of it. What I'm going to share with you, I try to live out, but I don't do it perfectly. And I can just tell you that over the last month, and even beyond that, but you know, since Pastor Nate let us know he's going to be leaving, there's a number of things as the pastor of this church I'm responsible for, got to make sure, you know, whatever. And I can tell you in the last couple of weeks, I have had more meetings, good, great, wonderful meetings than I have had in a long time. Meetings with various areas of ministry that Pastor Nate is over, teams, individuals, all that kind of stuff, meeting with deacons and elders, regular meetings, but also talking about where are we headed, what's going to happen next, and trying to figure out how everything's going to be taken care of. And let me just say this, didn't say it earlier, but Pastor Nate did everything he could to make sure everything was set as good as possible when he leaves, that everything doesn't fall apart. But you know, individuals fill certain spots that no matter how well you prepare, that's still got to be taken care of. Anyway, long story short, I have found myself just kind of feeling like I'm going through one of those seasons, all right? And you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of tough. Got a lot to do, And God, what's the solutions? What's the answer? And that is something we all face. You know, different things for you than for me, but Lord, what's the answer? And all these thoughts may pop in our head like, well, that makes sense. Maybe I should try that. This makes sense. Maybe I should try that. I'll talk to somebody else. They say I should do this. You know, but what do we do? Where do we go? And I would just say to you that God has always said that if we are his people, he just asks us to trust in him. That doesn't mean we don't have something to do, but we got to turn to him first. And that's what I want to talk to you about over the next little bit, and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Again, this is something I've tried to live out ever since I've learned the principles, but there are times in my life when it just seems to come hammering at me even harder that you just got to really trust God. Because you know what it's like when things get so overwhelming, you start worrying and can't sleep and all that kind of stuff, And I can tell you that trusting in God, trusting in the Lord makes the difference. It makes the difference. So I don't want to focus so much on me. Just use that kind of an illustration to get started to hopefully relate to you and you relate to me. But When we talk about trusting in the Lord, some people struggle to trust in the Lord when everything's falling apart, even though there is that desire to cry out to him because maybe he's the only one that can help, but still it's a struggle because it's like, if God really loved me, why did this happen? Why am I going through this? And that's not really the topic for today. I'm just saying sometimes people struggle to trust in the Lord when things get worse because of that reason. And even then, when you start looking at what God says to do, it's like, is that really the best solution? Because other people tell me something else, or my mind, my heart tells me something else. But it's really interesting because some people, in fact, I think we all have to battle this tendency, struggle to trust in the Lord when everything's going good. Because it's like, I don't really need, I mean, we're blinded to the fact that this is not true, but I don't really need to trust the Lord. Everything's going all right. I'm doing okay on my own. And some people actually have that attitude. They only try to come to God and get help when they desperately need it. And basically, when everything's good, going good, just kind of say, okay, God, I'm fine. I'll come back to you when I need you. And, you know, when we put it that way, you can see that's really not the best way to have a relationship with God. But to be honest, sometimes we do that. But I would propose to you today that whether you are in a difficult time right now or everything's going pretty well, you're somewhere in between, you're facing a crisis, a physical need, a financial need, a loss, whatever it might be, every day is a great day to trust in the Lord. For the good things, for the bad things, whatever it is that you face. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll bet for most all of you, if not all of you, there will be an answer or several that will pop into your mind like that. I hope so, because if you don't have an answer at all, I want to pray for you. In your life, who can you trust on? Who can you trust in? Now, I'm not asking you to answer out loud. But when I ask that, who can you really count on? Who can you trust in? Hopefully, you had a number of names that came to your mind, whether it's a family member, a friend, somebody else in the body of Christ, you know, or whatever. I can tell you that asking myself that question, you know, I could start making a list. It includes leaders of our church. It includes family members. It includes friends that, you know, if I needed something and they could do something, I can count on them and I can trust them. I just want to tell you, God wants to be that person today. We talk about trusting in the Lord. We're talking about believing in. We're talking about relying on. And in God's case, not necessarily other people we trust, but surrendering to. Because we trust him so much, and he is God. He's not another human being, that we actually surrender to him and say, God, I trust you so much that you're in charge. Okay? Trust in the Lord. It's a conscious dependence on God. I want to draw a couple of thoughts from our passage here. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Many of you probably have it memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Okay. And he will make straight your paths. What are some thoughts that we can draw from this in trusting in the Lord? First of all, trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. As I said, sometimes it's easy to go through life like, I trust God, I don't trust, whatever, you know, when I need him, he's there, and I call out to him, but then things get better, and I don't lean on him. But this is a call to trust God wholeheartedly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When we think of the heart in our culture and stuff, it's most often associated with our emotions, and in particular romance. Obviously that doesn't apply to God, but our emotions, you know, in my heart I feel this or whatever, and that kind of thing. But in their culture, it did include their emotions, but it was much more than that. For the Jewish people and much of the cultures of that day, all the way through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, the heart was the center and core of a person's being. It was not just emotions, but it's where they process things. It was where they made decisions. It was where they made commitments. And we get a little bit of a feel for that when we say we want to do something with all our heart. We don't necessarily mean, I just want to do this with all my emotions. It's with everything I am, everything I have. And that is what God says here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Another thing this implies is that it's not just, okay, God, you're God, so I'm going to have to do what you want me to do. We do that grudgingly. No, it implies a relationship. Not just going through rituals, not just carrying out traditions, not just being involved in a religion, but an actual relationship with God. It indicates a deep reliance and a full commitment. Perhaps you've heard somebody say, or maybe you said it yourself, you know, I trust that person with my life. Now, whether you fully mean that or not, it's neither here nor there, but that really is what we're talking about here with God. I trust God with my life. And not just in the sense whether I'm going to live or die or where I'm going to go when I die, but as I live my life from day to day, I want to trust the Lord with my life. And I see a lot of heads nodding, heard some amens and stuff like that. And you're like me. And if you were going to be honest, we'd say, I don't do that 100% just yet, but I want to. And I believe that's what God's calling us to do today. To trust in God wholeheartedly. But it gets scary sometimes. It's like, but if I do that, what's God going to ask me to do? Any of you ever asked that question? I want to trust God, but I'm not real. What's he going to ask me to do? Yeah, a little scary. Yeah. I remember when I went to Bible college, it was kind of a funny thing. I mean, people were serious. You know, people say, yeah, I really want to serve God. God, whatever you want, but please don't send me to Africa. Other people are like, God, send me to Africa. You know, that's where their heart was. You know? But whatever it was, it's just like, you know, yeah, I really want to surrender to God. I want to be trusting him. But there's certain things I'm so afraid he's going to ask me to do. And to be honest with you, that's realistic because some of the things God asks us to do are not easy. In fact, that's being nice. Some of the things God asks us to do are hard. But I can tell you that whatever God asks you to do as you trust in him, it's always for your good and for your benefit, and it's always what's best. And I think sometimes we even realize that. We just don't want to do it because it's hard. But he says, trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. Give it everything. Don't have a half-hearted commitment. Just going to God when you need him and just kind of doing your own thing. The second thing is this. Trust in the Lord exclusively. Exclusively. What do I mean by that? Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and I'm actually going to skip down and read part of verse 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Then verse 5, it says, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. So when I say trust in the Lord exclusively, that's not really the best word, but it's the best one I could come up because that makes it sound like you can't trust anybody or anything else. And that's not really what I'm trying to get across. What I'm trying to say is that we are so trusting in God that anybody and anything else doesn't even come close. Okay? He's the exclusive source of truth and wisdom and instruction and direction in my life. I guess you could put it this way. Trust God more than anyone else, especially yourself. Now, by that, do I mean you can't trust yourself? That you can't trust your thought processes and all that? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, we see in God's word that our ability to think and to reason and, you know, all that kind of stuff is part of our being made in the image of God. And God talks about growing in knowledge and, even more important, growing in wisdom. God wants us to grow in wisdom. He wants us to grow in knowledge. And God has given all of us a certain measure of common sense, some more than others. Okay? And God wants us and expects us to use that. But when he says here, lean not on your own understanding, he doesn't say ignore your own understanding. He doesn't say toss it out the door. What he's saying is that if you are dealing with whatever issue in your life, good, bad, indifferent, problem, you need a solution, whatever it is, if God says this, and your knowledge, wisdom, insight, common sense, and understanding says this, don't lean on this. Go with God. Go with God. Hopefully, as you grow in the Lord, you'll find that those things mesh up a whole lot more often. I know that's been true in my life. I'm not saying I know. I don't know it all. I don't have all wisdom. I pray all the time, God, give me wisdom to deal with this situation, that situation, whatever. And Lord, as we go into this meeting and I talk to this person, just guide my thoughts. I need your help, Lord. But I also find that the longer I know the Lord and the more I know about his word and God himself and what he wants accomplished, that I come up with the solutions a whole lot quicker. Because I already know what God thinks about certain things, or I have a good clue. Trust God more than anyone else, especially yourself. And this is especially hard when there's areas in which it seems like God's will doesn't seem to make sense. Or it's hard. Because as I said a few moments ago, sometimes God asks us to do hard things, and things, it's like, does he really mean that? You know, we're talking Old Testament, so we're talking about God, but Jesus comes into this whole thing too. But when Jesus tells us we're supposed to forgive others, we don't want to. They hurt us. Some people have done horrible things to other people. But God says you got to forgive. But again, God knows his best, because the forgiveness isn't so much for their benefit as it is for ours. When he says, when people mistreat you, treat them right, treat them well. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Put God first. When the Bible says, say no to your desires in any way in which they contradict with what his word says. So I don't want to. Because my desire says, and my desire is there, and it's strong, and I want to do that. Whether it has to do with our sexuality, whether it has to do with our finances, whether it has to do with how we relate to other people, whatever area of life we want to do, because we feel it sometimes more strongly than others. And God's word says, that's not the way to handle it. And we want to make excuses and reasons why it's okay to ignore or avoid what God's called us to do. So, nope, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord. There is a saying that is way always, I mean, everybody says it in the world. And I even hear Christians say it. And I'll just say this, that when I hear a Christian say it, most of the time, I think they've got the right idea in mind. Sometimes they don't. But it's terrible if it's taken to the extreme. And that is, what should I do? Just follow your heart. I want to tell you what, there's so many situations in life in which following your heart can be the absolute worst thing you can do. In fact, if we were to take time for testimonies, we could all give testimonies when we followed our heart, and it was terrible what the end result was. You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And that's talking about the sinful nature we have, and in our sinfulness that we can't trust it. Now, God changes our heart. Okay, we become more loving. We become more whatever it is that God calls us to do. But in its essence, we can't just trust our heart. We can't just follow our heart. It may lead us the right direction sometimes, if we're focused on a lot of other good things, and definitely if we're focused on God. But it can definitely lead us the wrong direction. I said, I bet every single one of us could give an example of when that took place. We followed our heart, and man, did it lead to destruction. I think of going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. God had given them very specific instructions. He put them in the perfect place, perfect environment. They didn't even have a sinful nature inside yet to draw them to sin. And he says, listen, you can do pretty much just anything you want to do, but there is one thing. I don't want you to eat of this one tree, and today's not the time to dig into why did he say that and what was the purpose. But the thing is he had his reasons, just that one thing. And the enemy came, and the enemy has a part to play in this too. The enemy came and said, did God really say? And the idea isn't just that, did God really say that, but did he really mean that? And is he really right? And I bring that up because he does the same thing to us. He'll come to us and say, did God really say that's the way you should live out your life? Did God really say that's the way you should conduct yourself in your relationships? Did God really say that's the way you should conduct yourself in your job, that you should live a life of integrity and honesty and you don't really shade the truth and cover things over? Did God really say that your sexuality is only to be manifested in a marriage relationship between a husband and wife? And he'll try to get us to fudge around, and you see how that turned out for Adam and Eve, and it can be the same thing for us. But how do we know what God wants? How do we know what God would recommend? Well, he speaks to us in two primary ways. He speaks to us through his word. And then he speaks to us through the presence of his spirit in our hearts. And let me just very quick to say that those will never contradict each other. If you think the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something that God's word says don't do, it's not the Holy Spirit. Or to do something God's word says don't do, it's not the Holy Spirit. They agree together. And as I said, sometimes he'll ask us to do something that doesn't really seem to make sense. I remember a situation from way back when I was in high school, and because I did well on this test or whatever, I actually got a letter for a scholarship to a particular college, and a lot of people say, man, you got to go there. I mean, it's a full ride, it's whatever, but God had called me to ministry. And I'd visited Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and God said, that's where you're going to go. And when I made that decision, I told people, yeah, I'm going to go to... There were certain people, not my family, not my friends, because they understood my heart, they loved the Lord. But there were other people, even other Christian people, says, oh, but you've got this opportunity to go to this well-known college, and they're going to pay your way. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you other than financially it doesn't make any sense, but God said, do this. That's what I did. And I've never regretted that. And that was God's plan for me. And that's a relatively simple example that doesn't really have a moral right or wrong other than the fact you don't want to disobey what God wants you to do. But that's true in every area of life when God tells us. Are we going to follow his path or the one that our logic or our heart or whatever might steer us to go toward? Before I move on, let me just ask, is there any area in your life where you're doing that now? Again, as a believer, if you know, I want to love God, I want to serve God, I want to be with, and you're really trying hard, but there's a certain area where you're ignoring what God has been telling you. You've been ignoring a very specific thing that he's asked of you, either as an individual or just something he asks of all of his people, and it's so easy to use our logic and the opinions of others to kind of skirt around that and excuse it and all that kind of stuff. And I would just say, I just encourage you with love in my heart. Not like some kind of rebuke and condemnation, like if you don't, you're going straight to hell, but get on the path to really trusting God. May not be easy to carry through with that, but God's going to help you. We'll be better for you. Anyway, number three. Trust in the God universally. And this kind of comes out of what I just said there in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, trust God with everything. I've actually kind of preached part of this point already. Didn't really mean to, so that's good. I can take less time at this point. Trust God with everything. Don't pick and choose. We love to do that. We love to serve God and trust God with the things we already agree with him about. But then the other things, it's like, maybe not so much. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That word for acknowledge means to know well, to know and have a relationship. And basically, because it's in connection with God, it is like I've got a relationship with God, I know God, and I'm acknowledging that he is God and he has authority over every area of my life. So you acknowledge that in all your ways. All your ways. It has this picture of a path. You're going down this path, whatever path you are on, in all your ways, every step, acknowledge him. Again, there are various areas where we might be tempted, or we actually do ignore him. You know, if you're not really sure, just, and you're asking the question, where is it that I'm not really trusting God? We're supposed to trust God with all these. Where am I not trusting God? A really simple answer to that is wherever you're not obeying him. Because they're tied together. If you really trust God, you'll do what he says. That actually is the definition of faith. It means trusting God enough to do what he says. Whether it's just a simple act of living a life of obedience, or he's called you to do a certain thing and you're called to step out in faith. Well, I'm going to believe what you say, God, so I'm going to do what you say. That's what faith is. Trust God universally. Trust God with everything. And it's something we all got to wrestle with. But do that with an open heart and an open spirit. There's a really interesting story. A lot of people don't know about it because it's kind of buried in the Old Testament. It's not one of those that they make these little storybooks about and all that kind of stuff. But in Jeremiah, you can read it later, Jeremiah chapter 40, there is a story about a guy by the name of Johanan. And I'm not going to give you all the detail because it would get bogged down, take too long. But basically, Johanan is a leader of a group of people, and they want to leave where they're at and go to Egypt because they're afraid of being attacked, because some terrible things have happened. And he goes to the prophet Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, ask God what we're supposed to do. Whatever he tells you to do, we'll do it. We're going to trust him. And Jeremiah really doesn't believe him. He says, I don't think you are. I think you're going to do what you want to do anyway. You want to go to Egypt. He says, no, you ask God whether we should go to Egypt or stay here, because in Johannesburg, God's going to say, go to Egypt. We're in trouble, whatever. And so Jeremiah goes and he prays and he comes back and he says, listen, here's what God says. You're supposed to stay here. And if you stay here, I'll protect you. You can stay at home. You don't have to go to a foreign land. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to be attacked. You're not going to, whatever. And Johanan says, we're going to Egypt. He'd already decided. Let's not do that. Well, let's go to the last one here. Trust in the Lord continuously. Trust in the Lord continuously. Proverbs 3:6 says, he will make straight your paths. That's the English Standard Version. He will make your path straight, some say, or road straight, or whatever. It's basically saying as you go along the road, God is going to smooth things out. Now, this is not a promise that if you can just trust God enough, you will never, ever, ever have a problem again. I mean, that contradicts so much us, other stuff that's in God's Word. Jesus said, if we're going to live for him, we're going to face problems. The thing is God's going to smooth the way. We can either choose to go our own way, have all the bumps and everything else, and end up in a ditch on the side of the road, or we can choose to trust God in all our ways, acknowledging him, and he will smooth the way as much as possible for our life in this sinful, fallen world. And it's an ongoing process. We're going down the road. We take new steps every single day. The idea here is that God will remove the obstacles and bring us to a desired goal. Over and over in his word, God says he has great plans for you, a great future for you, not just in this life, but in eternity. And he's got a great road to get you there. There's going to be a lot of difficulties that we face, but he's promised to help us with them. But you know, a lot of the difficulties and problems that we face come because we choose not to trust God. And so we suffer way more than God ever intended for us to suffer, whether it's financially, relationally, or whatever it might be. But we chose not to trust him. We chose to trust ourselves and our feelings and our heart and our ideas, and we get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. If I could paraphrase what this passage says combined with what the rest of God's word says, if you will just trust in me, life will be tough at times, but I'll help you avoid a whole bunch of junk. I will. I'll help you avoid a whole bunch of junk. Does God talk like that? I don't know. I'm just paraphrasing, okay? I think of the Israelites in the wilderness. They would waffle between trusting God and not trusting God. And every time they got in trouble, it's because they chose not to trust in God. I like this quote from Corey Ten Boom. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I think a great example, there's lots of them in Scripture, of really choosing to trust God is Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Now, that is one story that's in all the storybooks, right? But if you think of it in its essence, what does that story tell us about trusting God? God told Joshua, as the leader, to do something with his people. They did it. They trusted him and they did it. And God brought victory. But I want to point out a very important point there. It didn't happen the first day. Right? They had to march around the city seven days. And God let them know ahead of time, you know, it's going to take some time. And the same thing is true for us, because you know what? You may come to the end of the service here in just a couple of moments and say, I really, really, really want to trust God, and you commit something to him and you make a decision. I'm going to pursue this area where I've not been pursuing. I'm going to pursue making things right. I'm going to do this, whatever. And it seems like things are not moving along like you think they should. It may take some time. You just got to keep on trusting and keep on obeying. Now, there's a question I've been avoiding, and I'm going to wrap this all up with this answer to this question. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. But for some, the question, well, why? I mean, I've hinted at it all the way through. Why? Why trust in the Lord? Why trust in the Lord wholeheartedly, exclusively, universally, contingently, whatever? And let me just give you some basic facts. I mean, you can choose to believe them or not. This is what the Bible teaches. First of all, God created everything. And since he created everything, he knows how it works and how it's supposed to work. Not only that, but God knows everything. And he knows what's best. But here's where it gets personal. God wants what's best for you. Say, but it doesn't seem like that sometimes in life. It's because we don't know the whole story. For a person who has a growth in their body and they go to the doctor and the doctor says, hey, listen, in about a week, I'm going to take you into that room over there and I'm going to knock you out and I'm going to rip you open. They wouldn't use these words. And I'm going to take some of that stuff and I'm just going to take it out of you. That does not sound pleasant. That does not sound right. That doesn't sound like something I'd want to go through. But yet when we know the whole picture, which we would if we went to the doctor, it's like this is necessary to get rid of stuff that's going to kill you. Sometimes it's that way with God. We just don't see the whole picture. God knows to get to where you need to get and the goodness that he has for you, much of which we won't experience till eternity, but some in this life, you're going to have to go through some tough stuff. You know? Or if you've made a mess of something and you go to an expert and they say, you want to get out of that mess and get to where you want to be, you got to do this, 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 and this. And it's like, I don't want to do this, 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 and this. And he says, well, you're never going to get over there. It can be the same way in our lives too. The question is, are we going to trust God? So God wants what's best for you, and he'll guide you and lead you. That's what trusting's all about. And I want to throw this last truth in, and then we're going to wrap it up. God paid a great price to save you. So what's that got to do with trusting him? If God paid a great price to save you, the death of Jesus on the cross, don't you think he wants you to succeed? Don't you think he wants you to fulfill the purpose he has for you and bring you to a place of fulfillment and joy and reward? And I know some of that's in the future in eternity, but even here in this life. In fact, he said something along those lines through Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, where he says, he, God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now, don't do what a lot of people do and yank that verse out of context and say, God's going to give me whatever I want. That's not what that's saying. It's saying if God loved you enough and Jesus loved you enough to come and die for you, don't you think he's on your side? Don't you think he's going to help you with what you're facing? Don't you think he wants to bring healing and help? Don't you think he wants to get you through? Don't you think he wants to have a positive impact in your life and through your life and the lives of other people? It just doesn't even make any logical sense. So go back to this one question. How do we know if we're trusting God? If we're doing what he says. I think of that old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way. It says to be happy in Jesus. That's not a bad way to put it, but to be fulfilled, to experience all that God has for us in Jesus. And you know, we're all a work in progress, and none of us trust God wholeheartedly or exclusively and universally, continuously. I've already confessed to you, I don't do it 100%, but I'm working on it. But I can tell you many times in my life, and I can tell you for sure over the last month, as I've come to God at times like, oh, Lord, okay, what are we going to do about this? What about that? You know, and you know, as I've prayed about it, I've seen God's hand. It's so many little things, and I can't even begin to share them all, but I've seen God's hand. I've experienced his help. I have not yet had a sleepless night recently. I just am really sensing God's presence in a special way right now in my life. Feelings are all over the place, but God's sense of his presence. I just want to say, God wants to do that in your life too. God wants to do that in your life too. Let's all stand together. I know that lately we've been trying to finish a little bit earlier, but we had some very important, significant things to do in this service, so we're not there yet. We've been trying to finish a little bit earlier so we have plenty of time to pray and seek God and let God do what he wants to do, and we still want to do that. But the good news is you don't have to worry about going home and getting lunch because it's here. We are going to have a time of fellowship in just a little bit. But we don't want to allow that to keep God from doing what he wants to do. So I'm going to invite our elders, our prayer team, staff to come down front. And if you have a need, we want to pray with you and for you. For the next little bit, we're not going to rush it, but we're not going to drag it out. We want to spend some time in God's presence. I believe the worship team is going to sing a song that says, "I trust in God." Your response today may be, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm really trying, and I'm just going to sing this as an act of worship. Say, "God, this is my heart. I want to do that." You may need to make a decision and a commitment about something God spoke to you about in this message. "God, I've got to see that change in my life, and I need your wisdom and I need your help to do it." You may have something totally unrelated that you would like us to pray with you about for yourself or for somebody else. But most importantly, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he died to forgive you of your sins and to establish a relationship with God. But you've got to put your trust in him. We would love to pray with you to see that happen. So let's go into this short time of prayer, meditation, responding. You respond as God works in your heart. Come for prayer if you would like prayer today. Hallelujah. Can you join me in praying that God will help us to live out what we've heard today? God, we just come to you thankful for your goodness. And God, I thank you that we can trust in you. The enemy would want to come against us and say, "You can't trust God. Look what he's done. Look what he's allowed. Look what's going on around you, Lord," when it's the enemy himself that's causing all the problems. And sometimes he's doing it through us and other people. Many times he is. God, help us to look past all the lies and to see the truth of your love and concern for this entire world, but for each and every one of us as individuals. Love so great that you sent Jesus to die on the cross that our sins could be forgiven and we could have a relationship with you. God, I pray for anybody who's here or under the sound of my voice or watching or whatever who does not really have a relationship with you because they've not put their trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Draw them to yourself, and I pray that today they would make that decision to entrust their life to you, to repent of their sins and put their faith in you and begin to live for you. Help them. But God, for all of us who have already done that, Lord God, I'm sure that there's within us a desire to live the life you have for us. But Lord, it's a daily struggle. It's a daily process. And God, I just pray you'd help us to trust in you. Help us to trust in you with all of our heart. To not lean on, give priority to our own understanding and feelings and everything else or what other people tell us, but it's you, Lord, and what you say. And I thank you that if we do that in every area of life, you will direct our paths and you'll help us to avoid so much junk. And God, for the junk that's in our lives that we got ourselves into, or maybe somebody else did something and it made a junk in our lives, help us, Lord God, with that. Help us to get out of it, Lord God. But Lord, whatever we face, help us to trust in you. God, I'm just going to be a little self-focused here for a moment. Lord, I've just gotten up here and told these people how I'm trying to do this, and I've sensed your presence, and you've been helping me. Lord, I know the enemy would love to just turn around and attack me because I made that statement. God, help me to continue to fully trust in you and look to you. No matter what I got to deal with, whatever comes against me, no matter what the enemy may throw at me, Lord God, I thank you for it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.